103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
One of 3.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show with Brian, Peter and David. Good afternoon. Brought to you in association with greensacks.ie. Compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out at greensacks.ie. We have a wonderful show for you today. We're going to Santry to Maine, a community garden, a community walled garden. And Peter Donegan with Roving Mike is there.
About 12, 13 months ago, I had a chance meeting at the Flavours of Fingal Festival, soon to be on the horizon again. I think it's the second or third week in September. Nonetheless, one of my chance meetings was with a lady, I double underline that lady, by the name of Donna. And Donna worked with Santry Community Walled Garden. I've decided to make the jump almost 1 year later, travel a little bit further afield from my hometown and pop up and see Donna and see what is happening in this, how would I describe it? It's a little bit more than a walled garden, Donna.
Well, it is. Yes, it's our community garden. It's 4.5 acres split into 3 sections. It's quite a traditional walled garden in some ways. It's positioned in a particular way to get the best of the sun and to make everything very sheltered. So I'm very glad you came up to see us.
Explain to me the history behind the walled gardens, because I know from my own landscaping and design going back to 17th and 18th century, there is a set format, a regime which is almost asymmetrical, and it tends to follow almost all things linear. And for those who aren't aware, let me sidetrack. Within the middle of Santry Domain, that's D-E-M-E-S-N-E, it's almost backing onto the Crown Plaza Hotel, and it's not too far away from the Santry Omniplex Shopping Centre. A little bit of a walk all the way up through all of some windy paths and around the roundabout way, and eventually you find this wee little micro haven. There is a massive history to this walled garden, as we call it, though.
There certainly is. There was a large house on this site since medieval times, I believe, and then in the 17th century, a Georgian mansion was sort of built the estate was formed. It was originally owned by the Domville and the Barry families. The Domvilles were here first, and really Santry Village was just, that was their domain in the other sense of the word. They had, they owned loads of land around here, and what is a lot of people know as Santry Woods. They built an enormous, beautiful house, which, shockingly was let go to rack and ruin at the beginning of the 20th century, and was eventually demolished in the late 50s. But it would have rivaled something maybe like Castletown out in Selbridge. So we are talking, a very substantial residence. And of course, these large country houses, they needed somehow to, to feed their household. So the walled garden was built. It was, as I say, built very much in line with the way things were in the day. There was orchard primarily in the first 2 sections, and then the back section where we're sitting now is the kitchen garden, and that's where all of the vegetables for the lords and ladies and the servants would have been cultivated. And also we have on site the remains of the head gardener's cottage, because he actually lived here within the walls of the garden. And when the garden was first started, we actually had a lady who was born in the garden. Her father was the last head gardener. She came up, and her great granddaughters planted the very first plant when we decided to revitalise it.
For those of you not living on the north side of Dublin, if you're looking for a comparable, I would suggest maybe the Corca Park estate is something similar to. I know the house still stands there that I am aware, and I know the garden group that I run would have done a trip over there. It's worth taking a listen to the Sideshow interviews that we did. It's a double header over there. If not, Newbridge House, and I know when Flavours of Fingal returns again this year, the anniversary of the meeting of myself and Donna. If you want to go and take a look at what would have been or what would have existed here, you'll get a rough idea, but it is very much a case of, how would you say it, white little petticoats and white umbrellas and lace and Darjeeling teas and all of those things on the lawn.
Absolutely. It was very grand in its day. The main entrance now, it's sort of nice, it's simple. There's sort of a large arched gateway leading into it. But wow, you should have seen it, this, you know, 100 years ago. It was absolutely glorious. We do have somebody who's actually made a painting, who's done a painting of it, and I think the painting was done in the 20s, and someone recreated it for us in the last year, and that's up on our website. There's also some pictures of the old house, so I hope people will be able to put it in context to see what it was, and hopefully now, you know, how now it is working for the whole community, not just the small sort of select few who lived down the road 150 years ago.
I mean, explain this to me, because I have a wee voice in my head saying you have a really strong Dublin accent, and that's my wry sense of humour. How did this all come about? Are you a little bit like Hans Fisser, who we had recently on the Sideshow, who met a lovely Irish lady? Did you meet a lovely Irish man and settle down over here? How did that all come about?
No, I didn't. I know Hans well, actually. He's been a great friend of this garden. I suppose us sort of foreigners stick together. I have lots of Irish blood in me, so my mum and dad were Irish, lived in England. Obviously, they moved over there for economic reasons. But I just came on my holidays when I was a kid. All my cousins and my aunties, I just loved it. So as soon as I got the opportunity, I came back, and I've been here 14 years. And I settled in Santry about 8 or 9 years ago now.
How does one end up taking it? I mean, don't get me wrong, for those of you who haven't been here, first of all, you got to come here. I'll try and put some pictures up on sideshow.com, and the website for Santry Community Walled Garden is
santrycommunitygarden.ie, so you can Google us or just literally put that in, and there's lots of photos on there and also lots on the history of the garden as well.
Okay, so if you're on your smartphone, you're listening to this in podcast, go take a look. If you're listening to us live and you're not driving a car or a tractor or something along the lines of, pull over and take a look, and you'll understand where I'm coming from if you're live in radio. Other than that, the wall garden, like you said, is about 4 acres. When I first came into the first part, because you have a first part and then there's like a second part and then there's kind of like a third part. The first part I was kind of going, oh God. The second part I was kind of like, oh, okay, this is getting a little bit better. Come into the third part, it's almost like you can see it at phase one going backwards to phase two, phase three. Is that a fair description, or am I being harsh?
No, not at all. It's a very fair description. We started in the kitchen garden. So that where we're sitting now, which is, I think, probably at the moment does look the most structured, and where you can see there's an awful lot going on. There's lots to see. That's where we started 3 years ago. We just started in one small corner of it, and then we have gradually worked our way down. The second year we moved into the orchard, the second section, planted up trees. And again, there, we've done that following was a plan that we found from 1867 of the orchard. So we've tried to replant it in keeping with that. But obviously, we've decided to introduce native Irish heritage trees as well, which, you know, the people, obviously, the landed gentry who were here weren't very interested necessarily in some of the, you know, some traditional plants and varieties. So, you know, we have tweaked it around the edges.
Okay, and to go backtrack to where I sidetracked in the first place, how did Donna end up becoming the, how would you say, head cheerleader for this happy little community tucked away in the back of Santry Domain?
Well, it was just a pure fluke, to be honest with you. I knew a good friend of mine, Deirdre Fox. She was planting trees with IKEA. When IKEA came to Ballymun, they were giving, you know, trying to do lots of things for the local community. She met someone from Fingal County Council. She said, you know what? We'd love to have allotments or a community garden. What about the walled garden? They said, and this again, I suppose it shows it's a historical site, because because they had laid it out totally in the way it should have been, and as you were talking about, very symmetrical, you know, everything balanced, they said, well, look, we're not going to be letting you do allotments there, people putting up little shacks and sheds and this, that and the other. If you want to do anything, you're going to have to do it together as a team and make sure that anything you do is totally in sympathy with the history of the garden. So Deirdre is a very busy woman and just said to me, would you mind getting involved and just maybe just helping getting it off the ground, meeting a few neighbours? So I said, yes, I will. And I'm afraid the rest is history. It is a monster. I started doing it, I think, as well, very much because I live in the apartments nearby. I don't have my own garden. And really, it was from purely selfish reasons. I'm not like a really wonderful community-minded person in some ways. I just said to myself, I want a garden. I want somewhere that I can go and garden. So that's what inspired me. That's what sort of drove me on to do it. I'm not a good gardener either. I'm not an experienced gardener, but I was so lucky, and we all were. Like, I mean, we've got a wonderful committee and wonderful, really knowledgeable gardeners. So, you know, some of that is just, okay, it's hard work. You've got to be very, you know, we're very organised, but so much of it is just pure good luck that I just met some brilliant people who've all committed to it.
Do you like gardening to music?
Do you know what? Actually, I don't, because I like, I love hearing the birds, I love hearing the bees, and to be honest with you, when you're gardening here in the garden, it is community. You're often gardening alongside somebody and you end up having a gossip with them. Much more interesting than music, much as I love music.
Ah, God, that wasn't really the cue I was hoping for, but no, Brian, sorry. You're all right. You're all right. But Brian, it is back to you in the studio. Give me something happy and upbeat that reminds me a little bit of Donna's beaming smile.
Peter, I have the perfect song for Donna, who likes the sound of the birds and the bees. This is The Bird and the Bee and How Deep Is Your Love. Take That, the Bee Gees, but this is the best version. 103.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show. Good afternoon.
I know your eyes in the morning sun. I feel you touch me in the pouring. The moment that you wander far from me, I wanna feel you in my arms again. Then you come to me on a summer breeze, keep me warm in your love, and then softly leave. And it's me you need to show. How deep is your love? Is your love? How deep is your love?
Clap Your Hands. No, not literally. That's the name of the album that it's from The Bird and the Bee, How Deep Is Your Love. I remember playing the Bee Gees version of that back in 1985 when I started on the radio. And it was a Coolock radio station. And I was reading out announcements to save Santry Domain. And many a group down through the decades have saved it. Let's get back to the community walled garden at Santry Domain.
Thanks very much for that, Brian. Still, my company is Donna of Santry Walled Community Gardens. Donna, how many people are involved in this? And I'm reminded of that quote, I can't remember who said it, which is, gardens without people are very boring places. I might have made it up myself, but...
Well, no, it's completely volunteer run. So every single person gives up their time just voluntarily. You know, I maybe give about 10 hours a week to it, but that's on admin and stuff as well. There are about, we've got about 80 or 90 members at the moment, which is a hell of a lot, but an awful lot of them are sleeping members, or what I call friends of the garden. And we've got about 30 sort of regulars, people who will come maybe twice a month at least, and lots who come weekly. And we find that with most community gardens, if you've got a core of 8 to 10 regulars, you can, it's sustainable, you can keep it going that way. So then it's fine, other people can just dip in and out as, and you know, as their lives and responsibilities dictate. And you know, that really is one of the beauties of gardening like this. If you take an allotment, you're committed to it, you turn your back for a month, the weeds are up over your head, whereas here you literally can just come and go as you like.
It kind of reminds me of when I call across to my dad for a cup of coffee, and all of a sudden I find myself at the back garden doing some form of a chore, and he's sitting inside reading the Irish Times. And I always thought that has to be the best way to garden, is watching somebody else almost do it. But you like to say that you do a bit, and you don't have a garden yourself, so you don't have what is considered the chore of cutting grass, but you can come down when the mood kind of strikes you, and there's the banter, and there's the bit of gossip, and there's the... Brian Green back in the studio would love this. He'd just get to sit down and do what I'm doing with you now.
Well, I must say, the most I do is talk in this garden. I definitely talk more than I work, but we've got a lot of really hard-working people. But yeah, the tea break is the most important part of it, because it is a community garden. It's not just a garden. You know, this is here as an amenity for people. It's here for people who maybe are isolated. You know, we've got some people who are maybe pensioners, their lives have changed completely, their families aren't close. They can come here and, you know, sit down, have a cup of tea, get to know people. You know, we've got single parents who come with their kids, and I mean, like, children love it. You know, they can have a good run around, chat to other kids, chat to other people. You know, so it's very much, I mean, we are here as a social group who offer each other support. Now, in saying that, it's 4 acres. We do have a few loners. Some people come and they're just not into that. And it's big enough that people can potter off on their own and, you know, tip away at their own little thing. But the one thing with our garden, which again is so important on a historic site and a large site like this, is that it has to work to a central plan. So everybody here does have to be capable of working as a team to some degree. We can let people go off and do little projects, but they have to, you know, if people come to us and say, oh, I'd love to take on this bed, or could I grow the onions here, or, you know, I'd love to get involved with tree pruning, we can let them do that, but it all has to be overseen by our head gardeners.
Do you meet people with allotments and laugh in their faces and go, you must be so tired. Oh, yes, big stretch. You poor thing. Let me just go down and have a cup of tea. Good luck with the weeding. Do you heckle them when you see them on the street?
Not at all, no. I mean, an awful lot of our members are allotment holders, or maybe some people are failed allotment holders, you know, and I think the councils do have a big problem with this. You know, there's a huge waiting list for allotments. People want them, but an awful lot of people who take them on, they don't really understand the mechanics maybe of growing vegetables. They don't understand the commitment, and then they find after a few months that it's just very, very difficult for them to keep on top of the jobs, even in a small plot. So we hope in lots of ways that we work in tandem with allotments. You know, we say to people who allotment committees who've got a long waiting list, let the people know about our place. If they want to come up, see what it's like, learn a lot, because that's the other thing. You can learn so much just by digging in with everybody else. And then those people then can make an informed decision about, yes, I do want to take on the responsibility of an allotment myself. So, yeah, so we work together on that. I love allotments.
You're extremely diplomatic. There's a bit in my head that kind of says that for those who are dreaming, even considering taking on an allotment, that you are almost like the rite of passage that one should go through, which says, actually, yes, I can. No, actually, I only have 4 hours per week. I can't do it Monday to Friday. I can do 2 hours on a Saturday, possibly 2 hours on a Sunday. I mean, personally, I know one of the biggest reasons why I don't play golf, apart from that, I would still have to look at grass and trees and there's no escapism from what I do for a living, is I actually don't really have that kind of a time to give away. I don't have 4 or 5 hours free on a Saturday. I rarely ever do, mainly because I'm in walled gardens like your own. Is there a bit where people have kind of come, done that little stint for an hour or two per week and then kind of moved on to greater and better things?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I can't think of somebody personally now, but I do know we do have people who will just come maybe for a year, we'll see them and then they drift away. And I'm assuming they are going on to bigger and better things. Some of them, it even gives them the confidence to say, I've got a large back garden, I'm going to do something in the bottom of my garden now. And you know, all that is part of it, because you know, in what we want to do is just get everybody growing. You know, it's good for everyone if people know how to make, you know how to grow their own vegetables. Biodiversity is so important, so giving the bees nice places to go. So we do get people who do, literally, we're just a little stepping stone on the way, and that's fine. That's what we're here for as well.
And it's an absolutely wonderful stepping stone. There's something in my head that brings me back to when I was 4, 5, 6, 7 years of age, and I think of the first seeds I ever grew, which were radishes. And it's not so much the radishes, it's my grandfather that I'm associated with. It's when I was 11, 12 that I was taken under the wing of Brother Coleman over in Clondalk, and it's people and it's gardening, and it is a beautiful thing in gardens to be left kind of on your own sometimes, like Donna said, but it's also a wonderful journey. Well, it has been, at least in my life. If I could recommend you do anything, it is go to the Santry Community Garden website, look up Donna, make almost an appointment with her per se, come up and have a cup of tea and have a look around. How would you say it? It really is one of the best ways to garden.
I think it is, and the plot itself is really beautiful and it's really peaceful. You know, we're, although there are apartments overlooking us, we're in Santry, which is on the edge of Dublin, you know, a quite an urban spot. But when you come into here, it's a little oasis. And it's a lovely, peaceful spot. And I think, I know for me, that's what I really have gotten out of it.
Is there a prerequisite to becoming a member of Santry Community Garden where you must be a happy fecker?
No, if anything, I hope when you join, that's when you become a happy fecker. No, everybody is welcome. And this is it. We, you know, people don't have to be great gardeners. All they can be, I mean, we love people who do have knowledge, because, you know, and especially people who have knowledge and want to share it, because they can help then sort of teach other people. But literally, we are always looking for members. This is the other thing. I think people come up and say, God, it's great, and aren't you doing marvellous? But, you know, it's still a struggle to keep going. We always need new blood. You know, funding is an ongoing struggle. We work really hard to make sure we run the place on a shoestring. We're really careful. You know, we scavenge as much as we can. We reuse. We do everything from cuttings and seeds. So we really keep costs down. But I actually feel, I mean, we've gone for some funding we have gone for, mainly for infrastructure items, because we feel that this has to be sustainable from the local community. And if it isn't, well, then it's not working. Because if people really love it, they'll stay with it, and they will keep supporting us. So, you know, you can't tread water in a way, but you've got to keep that drive going, keep getting new blood in. So we're always looking for new people, and we're very welcoming.
I do know from talking to Donna before, the beauty about working in a community garden like this, and as I look around, I see the giant sunflowers and the masses of rhubarb and the tomatoes in the polythene tunnels and the lavenders and the rosemaries and the nasturtiums, and there's grapes and apples and all. It's a wonderful mass collection of varying bits and bobs. But when it comes to harvest time, people, harvest time, you get to take home the honey, the creme de la creme, and you know that you've put some form of effort and a little bit of hard work and a cup of tea into getting it there. Donna, how much does it cost to become a member? And again, give me the website as well.
It's sanctuarycommunitygarden.ie. It's €10 concession or €20 for annual membership fee. And that includes all your tools, all the seeds, and then obviously all the fresh fruit and vegetables that you can eat. So basically, everybody who comes up for a garden session, one of the big jobs is we harvest what's available and then we just all share it out. And so I can assure you within a couple of months, your membership fee is well and truly paid 10 times over.
Is that a tenner a month, a week, a year?
Oh, no, it's a year. So that is the one thing we really wanted to make sure. This has to be accessible to everybody. And very importantly, it's to people maybe who are on low incomes. You know, gardening doesn't have to be massively expensive. And our membership fees really do help keeping us tick over. As I say, we're very careful about how we spend our money. But that's part of it. You know, you don't have to spend a fortune to have a, you know, to have a really wonderful pastime and, you know, and to do as much as we do. So €20, I think it's pretty good value for a year.
€20 for a year has to be the cheapest membership I have ever heard of in my life. And that goes back to 1980-odd, particularly when you consider that it won't cost you a penny more for tools or seeds or anything else along the lines of. And you get your money's worth more than 20 bazillion times over in tea and produce and big beaming smiles. Brian, you should come here, although maybe you possibly shouldn't. You should just stick in the studio. But for those who might even be considering, you cannot go too far wrong. I'll have all of the details, links, etc., etc., up on sodshow.com. In the meantime, Brian, it's back to you in the studio. And thank you, Donna, for a wonderful chat.
Oh, well, it's lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming out to see us again.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks, Donna. And shame, shame, shame on Brian, because I haven't been to Santry Domain down through the decades. Two quick announcements for you. Flavours of Fingal next weekend, 14th and 15th of September. The Sod Show will be there at sodshow.com. If you want to get in touch, we'll interview you. That's from 11 till 6 in Newbridge House and Farm. Donna Bate, 14th and 15th of September. Next Saturday in Wolfetone Square in the city, if you're interested, we have Dublin Community Growers Harvest Festival, and that's from 12 to 6 p.m. That's Wolfetone Square next Saturday. 103.2 Dublin City FM, with thanks to greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out at greensacks.ie. Until next week, take care. Bye-bye.